The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. Can prayer change things? You better believe it. Listen, we need to pull together, we need to work together, and we need to pray together because there's power in united prayer.
Coming up today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us gain our spiritual bearings in facing the pandemic, or really any challenge we might encounter.
God is bigger than COVID-19. God is bigger than any problem you're facing right now. So don't worry, pray.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again, you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
How many times have we heard it? Maybe we've even said it. Well, all we can do now is pray. It's said almost as a fatalistic finale to all the worrying we've been doing. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. It should be a source of hopefulness, not hopelessness. And we should remember God wants us to bring our challenges to His throne. Good encouragement is coming your way in today's study.
Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 12. And the title of my message today is, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. You know, there is a sense of fear in the air right now. Consider these headlines that I read at a news site recently. Quote, world on edge, market bloodbath, stocks crater, oil plunge, national emergency, anxiety grips companies across the world. Well, reading things like this, hearing what we're all hearing on the news right now produces fear. One expert made this statement, and I quote, we're in this fear state, but the fear state turns down the immune system. When you spread fear to your friends, it's almost like spreading germs to them. You wouldn't want people to do that to you. Why do you do that to other people? End quote. That's very true. So I have a message for all of you right now. All of you who are afraid, here is the message from Jesus himself. Do not be afraid. God is still in control. He's ruling from his throne in your life and my life right now as we put our faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. By the way, that sound mind means well-balanced, disciplined mind. So don't freak out. Turn your fear into faith. Turn your worry into worship. Turn your panic into prayer, because the Bible says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything, and the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So there are reasons to be afraid. We want to be aware of what's happening and be practical, but then there are greater reasons not to be. So I have 5 points I want to make in this message. And they all happen to start with the letter P. So if you're taking notes, here's point number one, be practical. Yes, this is a highly contagious virus, and that is why handshakes are out. It's fist bump time. We had to avoid handshakes. I was talking to a doctor, and he said, there's so much bacteria on your hand, a lot less when you do a fist bump or some other way of greeting one another. Wash your hands vigorously. We've heard that a million times. I become a ninja hand washer. That's important. Another really important tip right now, don't drive slow in the fast lane, especially if you drive a Prius. I know it has nothing to do with the coronavirus, but thought I'd just throw that in there. Okay. Number one, be practical. P number two, be prayerful. And this is very important and something we all should be engaged in. We as Christians need to be calling out to God Almighty for divine intervention, for Him to protect our country. I'm reminded of a story in the book of Numbers of when a judgment of God was coming on the people. And Aaron was instructed to take a live coal from the altar and put it in a censer that would contain it and intercede on behalf of the people, and the plague was turned away. So that's what we do in prayer. We're standing in the gap and we're saying, Lord, save and preserve our country. We're praying for anyone who has COVID-19 that they would have a rapid recovery. Pray for our medical professionals on the front line that are treating people for their protection. Pray for our president, the administration, especially Vice President Pence, who has been put over a task force to take point on dealing with COVID-19. And pray that the Lord turns us back. Listen, we need to pull together, we need to work together, and we need to pray together, because there's power in united prayer. Jesus said, if any of you will agree here on earth concerning anything you ask my Father in heaven, it will be done for you. There's a story in the book of Acts chapter 12 where we read that Simon Peter was arrested. He was in prison. He was going to be executed. And this was on the heels of James being arrested and executed. So what did the church do? We read these words in Acts 12:5. Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. There's a lot in that verse. Constant prayer, not a one-time prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Jesus says, and the door will be opened. Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Power in united prayer. Can prayer change things? You better believe it. During World War II, there was something that's referred to as the Dunkirk miracle. There was a film made about this, but they left out the miracle part. But what happened was the Nazis were closing in on the Allies, and the Allied troops were surrounded on three sides and backed up against the ocean. They would certainly all die. And it was the intention of the German army to destroy them all. So King George called for a national day of prayer. And the churches of the UK were filled to overflowing as believers prayed. And suddenly, a weather front moved in, making it impossible for the Nazis to invade. And then an armada of every kind of sea craft you can imagine came in, little fishing boats, pleasure yachts, government ships, and evacuated 300,000 people. That's why they call it the Dunkirk miracle. Well, we need a coronavirus miracle. So I'm going to pray, and then my wife Kathy is going to pray. So let's all pray together. Father in heaven, you are all powerful. You're also all loving. And you see how this pandemic has affected the country as well as the world. And I'm praying that you will turn this back, Lord. Again, thinking of Aaron going out there and standing in the gap and praying. We as your people are praying right now, and we're asking you to arrest this virus. We especially pray for the elderly that are more vulnerable, that you would put a special hedge of protection around them. But Lord, we pray that this will cause us as Americans to get closer to you. I pray that this will result in many people believing in Jesus for the first time. So we commit this to you. We pray now for our nation in Jesus' name.
Father, we lift up ourselves to you this day. We come humbly before you. You tell us that if we will humble ourselves and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, that you would hear from heaven. And Lord, we as a nation are being humbled. We as a people are being humbled before you. And we want to be like that sinner who came into the sanctuary and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We are not coming in our own righteousness or in our own strength. We are asking for your help here. You tell us in your word that you carry the Israelites out of Egypt on wings of eagles. Lord, they couldn't deliver themselves. They didn't walk out. They didn't fight out. They didn't run out. They were carried out. We need you to carry us our anxieties, our worries, our concerns, our uncertainties about the future are too much for our shoulders to carry, but yours are broad enough. They are big enough. We roll our burdens upon you. We cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. And we declare here and now, before the answer to our prayers is even given, that we will give you thanks and praise, yes, as you tell us, in all things with prayer, thanksgiving. Let our requests be made known to you. You are our provider. You are our sustainer. You are our strength. You are our hope. You are our peace. You are our joy. And we look to you now. Father, may this be the spark that ignites revival and awakening in the world today, not only here in America, but globally. May your church come alive, and may we do the work that you have called us to in these last days. Have mercy, Lord. We're asking for your intervention here. We cannot do this without you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
We're encouraged when we hear that Pastor Greg's teaching and preaching is touching lives.
Hey, Pastor Greg. My name is Mark from New York. Just calling. I was saved at your crusade in Madison Square Garden in the 2000s. And if it wasn't for my mom pulling me to your crusade and me listening to your teachings, I wouldn't be here today probably. You saved my life. After that, I became a Christian. I found a church. I married my wife. We got baptized together. But things didn't always stay good, you know? And last year, I lost my daughter. And your teachings on that subject have really helped me through a really dark and difficult time. And now I have two beautiful sons, and we're picking up where we left off. We're living this life. And I just thank you so much for always giving a good word, always speaking through the Lord. I appreciate you, and I thank you.
And we're grateful to hear of the changed lives because of Pastor Greg's teachings. And if you have a story to tell of how these studies have touched your life or that of a family member, I hope you'll email Pastor Greg. His email is greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org.
Well, Pastor Greg is working his way through 5 points from today's message called What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do.
Number one, be practical. Number two, be prayerful. Number three, be proclaiming. Look for opportunities to share your faith. Because I'm telling you right now, people are scared. People are alarmed. People are frightened. People have questions and we have answers. And I think we have an unprecedented opportunity as the church to go into all the world. You know, we want all the world to go to church, but Jesus wants the church to go into all the world. So look for these opportunities. I was in a drugstore the other day getting some things, and I talked to the lady, and she said she was a little bit scared. And I said, well, have you tried praying? Well, as it turns out, she was a believer. But I was able to encourage her. But I'm telling you, there are people out there who are not believers. You need to tell them that they can pray and call on God and pray for them. But most importantly, engage them in a conversation about Jesus Christ and tell them how you, as a believer, have the peace that passes all understanding. So, number one, be practical. Number two, be prayerful. Number three, be proclaiming. Number four, have perspective. Again, the last time I checked, God was still on the throne. And Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. Somebody check, make sure it's still there. I think it is. Again, which says, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. God loves you. He hears your prayers. And know this, God is bigger than the coronavirus. God is bigger than any problem you're facing right now. So don't worry, pray. Here are the words of Jesus to us in John 14. He says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In my Father's house are many mansions, and were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may go. He also added these words, you believe in God, believe also in me. You know, the word that Jesus uses here for troubled, as in do not be troubled, is a picturesque word. It means don't let your heart shudder. Has that happened to you? You just shuddered a little bit. You're a little frightened. Well, don't let your heart be troubled, Jesus says. And he says, believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, I've brought you this far. I'm not going to abandon you. We are, in effect, in a storm. This storm has a beginning, middle, and an end. We're going to come through this storm. And to all of us, Jesus says, do not be afraid, only believe. Now I want to look at a text I had you turn to a little bit earlier. Luke chapter 12, 32. Very straightforward text. Very easy to get in your mind. Jesus makes this statement, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In this simple verse, God is identified for us in three ways. He's described for us as a shepherd, a father, and a king. So first Jesus says, fear not, little flock. So God is a shepherd and we are his sheep. You know, sheep, well, how do I put it delicately, are not the most intelligent animals on the face of the earth. On more than one occasion, the Bible says we're sheep. We're like sheep who go astray. He's our shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. Scripture tells us sheep are basically defenseless creatures. They don't have teeth to bite. They can't run very fast. They don't have claws to scratch. Basically, they're like a meal on four legs. They might as well just carry the mint jam with them and say, eat me now. They need the help of the shepherd. Sheep are skittish. That's why when one goes astray, others go astray. So God is our shepherd. He's going to take care of his flock. Number two, God is a father who loves us. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, when Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, he didn't say, after this manner, therefore pray, our Creator who art in heaven, though he is our Creator. Nor did he even teach us to pray, Almighty God who art in heaven. He actually taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. See, that speaks of relationship. When you become a Christian, God becomes your Father. Listen, God is not everyone's Father. God is everyone's Creator. But he is only a father to those who have called on him. Only those who have believed in him. The Bible says, for as many as received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. And in a few moments, I'm going to tell you how to ask Christ to come into your life so you can start calling God Father. This is a father that we have constant access to. A father that delights to hear our prayers. I want you to think a little differently. Think of him as a grandfather. Grandfather is a dad too. I am a father and a grandfather. My role as a father is different than my role as a grandfather. As a father, especially when my sons were younger, it's to instruct them, it's to guide them, it's to prepare them, it's to equip them, it's to help them, it's to warn them, sometimes it's to discipline them. But as a grandfather, well, those things are included, but really, in many ways, my job is to just enjoy them, to love them, maybe sometimes to spoil them. And I want you to know that when you approach God, he is thrilled that you're there. He's looking forward to hearing from you. He's your Father in heaven. So Jesus says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God loves to bless you. God loves to provide for you. Are you in need right now? Call on the Lord. The Bible says that if you call on him, you'll be saved. And the Bible also says you have not because you ask not. The Lord will provide for you. He's a father that loves you. And finally, he's our king. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And when we talk about God as a king, it's a reminder that he's in control, that he's sovereign, that he has all the power you need. Listen, if God were small enough for your minds, he wouldn't be big enough for your needs. As I already said, God is bigger than COVID-19. God is bigger than any problem you're facing right now. And the Bible asks the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? One last point. Number one, be practical. Number two, be prayerful. Number three, be proclaiming. Number four, have perspective. And now finally, number five, be prepared. Be prepared. The Bible says, prepare to meet your God. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Again, Jesus said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I prepared a place for you. Listen to this. Only those who are prepared to die are really ready to live. How do you prepare to die? It means that you just know where you're going in the afterlife. Listen, you decide in this life where you will go in the afterlife. And if you want to go to heaven, you have to make arrangements. If I'm going to travel from the West Coast to the East Coast, I don't just walk down to the airport and board a plane. I have to have a boarding pass. I have to have a driver's license. I have to go through security. And then I take my seat and hopefully reach my destination. And listen, I talked about reservation. God purchased your ticket for heaven 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. Coming back to John 14, Jesus says, where I go and the way you know. And Thomas says, actually, we don't know where you're going and we don't know the way. Good question, Thomas. And then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Listen, there's only one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus. Why Jesus? Why not multiple choice? Why not any religion we choose? Why not our own version that we come up with? Because there was only one person who was uniquely qualified to bridge the gap between a holy God and sinful humanity. And it was Jesus, who was the God-man. Not a good man, he was that, but he was the God-man. Not man becoming a God, that's impossible, but God literally becoming a man. Jesus was fully God, fully man, dying in our place. He came to pay a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. And then he rose again from the dead 3 days later. And listen to this, friend. He's standing at the door of your life and he's knocking. And he's saying, if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Think of it. Right now, wherever you are, hearing it on the radio, watching it on television, wherever you're seeing this, Christ could come and live inside of you and forgive you of all of your sin. And then you don't have to be afraid of what happens beyond the grave. You say, well, how do you do that? Through prayer. He's just a prayer away. Allow me to introduce you to my friend, Jesus Christ. He can come and live inside of your heart right now and forgive you of your sin and give you a peace in the middle of whatever storm you are in and the absolute assurance that when you die, you will go to heaven. Listen, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, if you're not sure that you'll go to heaven when you die, if you don't know with certainty that Christ is living in you, pray this prayer with me. Wherever you are right now, just pray these words. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior who died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. Jesus, come into my life now. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be my God. Be my friend. I choose to follow you, Lord, from this moment forward. Thank you for hearing this prayer and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer. And listen, if you have just prayed with Pastor Greg and have meant those words from your heart, well, first of all, welcome to the family of God. And second, we'd like to offer some help as you get started as a Christian. We'd like to send you our new Believer's Growth Packet. Just get in touch and ask for it. We'll send it free of charge to those making a first-time commitment to the Lord today. You can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click the words Know God. You know, Pastor Greg, a counselor told me that many people are stressed, and some don't even know it. And I said, well, how can someone tell if they're under stress? And she said, if you find your first response to an offense is on a larger scale than the offense itself, that's stress. So if, let's say, it's a 5-pound offense, but you react with 25 pounds of anger and frustration, yeah, you're probably under stress.
Yeah.
And I'll bet somebody listening right now just said, I think I just did that.
Yeah.
So help us find out how we can de-stress our stressed out lives.
Well, I think when you're under stress, it's kind of like the expression, you know, the straw that breaks a camel's back. A little thing can just blow everything up.
Yeah.
And because you're already under this intense pressure. And this is why we need to continue to give our problems over to the Lord. You know, the Bible says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And that's why I always encourage believers, when they're tempted to worry, turn their worry into a prayer. So let's just say you're just driving along, or you're sitting at home, sheltering in place, and all of a sudden you're just flooded with a bunch of anxiety and worry. Well, turn those things into petitions. Turn your problems into petitions. Turn your worries into worship. Turn your fear into faith. Turn your hopelessness into hope by reminding yourself of what the Bible says. You know, sometimes I just quote the Bible to myself because I forget the promises of God. We all do. This is why Peter wrote in his epistle, I want to stir up your memory about these things. We as Christians need to constantly be reminded of the truths of the Word of God. And I've written a little book that is just out right now, and I want to send to all of our listeners to help them get a biblical perspective, and instead of turning a molehill into a mountain, they can turn their mountain into a molehill, or just get a better view of the power of God in their life and his ability to help them through their difficulties. And this book is simply called Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. You know, you have a crisis, you can face it alone, or you can invite Christ into it. Illustration, the disciples were out there in the Sea of Galilee and a great storm came and they began to despair for their lives. And who shows up but Jesus walking on the water? And the Bible says he acted as though he would keep walking. Interesting statement. So it's almost as though he was passing by. And they say, Lord, come, come to us, come. And he came on board their boat and everything changed. You see, they effectively brought Christ into their crisis. Mm. And that's what I'm encouraging people to do, is invite Jesus into your situation. Invite Christ into whatever it is you're facing and ask for his help. So this book, Bringing Christ into Your Crisis, is chock full of verses and biblical truth that I think will help you get a divine perspective on what we're all facing together. And I want to send it to you for free. I just want you to have it. And really, I want you to read it. But if you can support us financially at this critical moment, we'd really appreciate it, because I'll tell you what, we have incredible opportunities before us. And I think we can reach more people in this moment in time than maybe any other time I can remember in my life. So I would really appreciate it if you would not only support us financially, but if you would even become what we call a harvest partner. Mm-hmm. And that's somebody who supports us every month with a regular gift. Whatever you can do, ask the Lord to give you direction as to what you would want to invest. But if you believe people need to hear the gospel, if you want to see people come to Jesus, well, that's what we're all about here at Harvest Ministries and on this radio broadcast, A New Beginning. So do what you can to support us, and we'll get you your copy of Bringing Christ into Your Crisis quickly.
Yeah, let me pass along our contact information. And thanks so much for your support. It can impact so many lives here at this critical time. So write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. Well, next time, Pastor Greg begins a full series on this unique time we're in called Quarantine Life. Good encouragement that speaks to the challenges we all face. Next time on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.